Elections are around the corner, Chief.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
And, you know, I'm sure you've given a lot of thought about who you're going to vote for.
Well.
Unlike some of us.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I've skimmed through a manifesto or two.
Really?
Yeah.
You're talking rubbish.
I know.
I've had a chance to listen to interviews and podcasts while I'm driving to my place of business. And, you know, it's... I took it upon myself then to go and read a manifesto or two.
Yeah.
I'm also lying.
You're lying bastard. Yes.
Okay, let's listen quickly. So I know you had a chance to look at what the ANC has to say.
Yeah.
Besides, obviously, what the president has been going around the country saying and some of the interviews.
Yeah.
What are some of your thoughts on what they're planning to do around entrepreneurship and improving the condition of us as entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so I think it's important that you talk about entrepreneurship because for myself and I think for you as well, probably the key focus is on entrepreneurship as entrepreneurs ourselves. And for me, a couple of the key points that I picked up in the ANC's manifesto was that in terms of their take on entrepreneurship, where they sort of see themselves focusing is on small businesses, cooperatives, township and village economies. Mm. And I think that it's a good approach to take because it's like they've put some thought into where the problem issues are. Mm. And sort of where they could potentially look at unlocking the most value for the economy. And I think those three or four areas listed are definitely things that we should be looking at as a country. I think one of the things that I found, and I found this common across quite a couple of the political parties, is that there's not really much in the way of detail. So they talk about, we will do this, we will do that, here's the what, but there isn't very much in terms of how they actually plan on executing.
Is there anything in particular that you picked up that the ANC is at least alluding to?
So the one thing that I would call out as a step in the right direction is that they specifically speak about setting aside 30% of government procurement for small businesses. And I think that's a step in the right direction. Where I think they fell short a little bit is that they speak about encouraging large corporates to do the same as opposed to using policy and legislation to actually compel them.
Isn't that the current status quo? So don't the current codes currently suggest that small corporates spend some of their money towards empowering small businesses?
Yeah, but like it's so. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no requirement that corporates need to spend 30% of their procurement on small businesses. Like it's more and there my arms. It's more a case of like listing it as one of the boxes that need to be ticked in the tick box exercise that is BE. And so that's probably a large reason of why you're not seeing it being effective. I think government having that set aside is definitely gonna be good because it means that cool, we're spending $100 million a year. 30 million has to go to black owned enterprises, and that's real, it's tangible, it's going to be revenue that black enterprises are able to generate. And I think that we could go a long way if we took a similar approach with how corporates currently operate. I think where currently enterprise development and spending in that vein is more of a tick box grudge purchase. If it was a requirement in the same way government are saying they're going to hold themselves to that standard, we'd probably be seeing a lot more progress.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah. So something else I found interesting was that the party speaks about localization of products and services across various sectors, including clothing and textiles, pharmaceuticals, and green energy, to name just a few, which is exciting in the sense that localizing those things could open up opportunities for entrepreneurs and enterprises. But I felt that it would probably be a lot more exciting if it was being talked about at a regional or even a provincial level, as opposed to the national level, which it's being discussed at now. Because at a national level, like we're already struggling to implement things because the focus from a governance perspective is done nationally. I think if it were broken down to a more localized level, regionally or provincially,
at the face of service delivery, basically.
Correct. You know, like if you say like you want to have a focus on solar energy in the Northern Cape, which is 90% desert, you've got sun there, the conditions are right for it. You'd probably find a lot more focus than saying, cool, nationally we're going to do some sort of solar project where you're expecting money in Gauteng to be building solar farms out here. It makes much more sense to do that in the Northern Cape. And by having that sort of provincial regional focus, I think you'd unlock a lot more value, you'd unlock a lot more opportunities where people are actually activating things because they're not having to compete on a national level. And then just a couple of other throwaway points was that they spoke about a 100 billion rand fund for black-owned enterprises as part of the transformation of the financial sector, but again, not really much in the way of detail for.
So they weren't specific in terms of how we're gonna.
Yeah,
how we're gonna see that fund come to.
Yeah, it sounded as if like they said, "Cool, what's a nice round number everyone will remember when they step into the voting booth? 100 billion rand over 5 years," but like there's no detail in terms of what is that fund going to be for, how are people accessing it, what's the criteria, etc., etc. They also spoke about increasing intra-African trade, which I think could be a nice opportunity for businesses and enterprises which are ready and well positioned to be trading on an intra-African level.
It's quite interesting, but I want to juxtapose sort of the lack of specifics to what I sort of picked up while reading the anti-ANC manifesto.
Which one? Those guys in red?
The EFF.
Okay.
I mean, it being a political party, they also don't necessarily delve into specifics a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But where they do, they are very specific about those specifics.
Okay.
They go as far as listing particular municipalities where they plan to introduce programs, or for example, they want to introduce economic tax-free zones.
Yes.
For businesses that meet certain criteria, for example, employing 2,000 people.
Uh-huh.
And contributing to workers' pensions and such and so on and so forth.
Okay.
They want
stuff
to,
like that.
And stuff like that.
Yes.
They want to look at
Okay, so I just to kind of jump in there, you mentioned they spoke about incentives for businesses that employ upwards of 2,000 people. Like, what does that mean for small businesses and startups and entrepreneurs like you and I, who are nowhere near employing 2,000 people? We're nowhere near even employing like 4 or 5 people. What does that mean for us practically?
So in their manifesto, they talk about how youth development, seeing that most entrepreneurs are youth.
Yes, we are under 35
because of the because of the South Coast demographics, where we are a country where our youth population is growing like the rest of the continent.
Yeah.
So youth development is integral to most parts of their manifesto. So they go and talk about, for instance, increasing the budget of the NYDA to the tune of 2 billion rand annually and opening offices in every single local municipality to increase access to those facilities.
Okay.
And then they go further on to talk about developing access or improving access to connectivity and education and computers by adding computer labs in all local libraries, as well as establishing Wi-Fi parks. They call them Wi-Fi parks.
Yeah.
In all municipal wards.
So from your take, like, what having that access to information for young black kids and young black entrepreneurs, like, what does that mean?
Having access to internet and having access to a way to access the internet improves your ability to be able to, well, first of all, gain knowledge.
Yeah.
Second of all, figure out how to then take that knowledge that you've gained and and apply it productively. So having access to the internet is access to information, access to the world.
Yeah.
It's access to wealth, essentially, access to opportunity.
Okay.
So that said, hopefully some of those youth that then have access to these services are then able to launch businesses that are able to benefit off of the EFF's promised 50% of all state-owned procurement going towards youth-owned businesses.
So they've got 50% as opposed to 30.
Not black-owned, youth-owned.
Yes. Yeah, so that was the other thing. So is their focus in an entrepreneurship speaking towards entrepreneurship as a whole, or are they focusing specifically on the youth demographic?
So what I picked up is they're looking at two or three specific sort of sectors of South African society. They're looking at youth.
Yeah.
They're looking at informal traders.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at what's called the productive economy.
Okay. What does that mean?
That means manufacturing goods that can then be procured by state entities. That means reducing our reliance on imports.
Okay.
That means increasing beneficiation.
Yes.
My English. Beneficiation of our mining resources. So the EFF wants to look at, they want to look at improving stuff. Access to funding and incubation through reducing the red tape that governs what they call development finance institutes, so your IDCs, your small business funds and all of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you know, they also discuss changing legislation that currently governs listed companies, so the stock markets essentially, to promote ownership of women, youth and workers of those organizations.
Okay.
They're not specific about how they're going to do that, but I thought that was one particularly interesting point, seeing as how we go back and forth about ownership of listed businesses.
Okay. So do you think, was there much in the way of detail around what they plan on doing around the DFIs and other funding institutions that you think is going to be applicable practically?
So I didn't find anything specific. What I did see was that they're planning to change legislation and compel these institutions to reduce the stringentness of their requirements. It was a single paragraph.
Okay. No, fair enough.
Yeah.
Sort of, kind of, but not really. But anyway. So I think let's have a look at the other people down there in the Republic of the Western Cape.
Republic of the Western Cape, you say?
Indeed, Republic of the Western Cape.
You're talking about the Democratic Alliance, the Blue Party.
Yes. Moose's party, bro. Dumelang wakhaitu. Yeah. So, I mean, their take is that the policy that government has tried with BEE and a top-down approach to economic redress hasn't been working. And so they want to look at a bottom-up approach.
What does that mean?
Where we're looking at grassroots level entrepreneurship and building that up. But there's a caveat. So they're saying we need to do bottom-up, but in order to do that, we need a foundation of skills and knowledge, which currently doesn't exist in South Africa. So we need to continue mentoring black businesses, insert the side eye, while donating enterprise and supplier development money to middlemen. I don't know if you felt that eye roll in your soul there.
It's right here.
It's hitting you here.
On my studio.
Anyway, so they've got a 6-point plan, which talks about introducing an overtly pro-small business policy approach. Easing the cost of doing business by exempting small businesses from certain labor and BEE regulations, improving cash flow by implementing a temporary amnesty on tax penalties for small businesses, and ensuring government and big business pay suppliers within 21 days, provide funding and related assistance for small businesses, although they don't really say what that means. Providing targeted support for micro entrepreneurs in the informal economy, focus on instilling an entrepreneurial mindset and expanding support and incentives for youth-owned businesses and cooperatives, and focusing on instilling an entrepreneurial mindset. I think I said that already. I need to take better notes. But anyway, I felt like the manifesto was very much about, like, if someone had to search for things that are important in and around the entrepreneurship discussion, like, they've included all the key search engine optimization terms in their manifesto, but
which is brilliant.
But there's no detail around what it means. So providing funding and related assistance for small businesses, what does that mean? You talk about introducing an overtly pro-small business policy approach. Like, what are the specific policies? What is your intention with those policies? I feel like if I had to summarize their take on entrepreneurship, is basically they want to integrate a couple of key systems for entrepreneurs, so your CIPC, SARS, tax clearances, etc. Reduce red tape, although they don't really say how, and also basically expanding on an enterprise and supplier development model, which most, if not all, entrepreneurs with a little bit of melanin in their skin will tell you doesn't actually work. So, like, if you run through their manifesto quickly, you'll probably think, okay, cool, they mentioned points about entrepreneurship, they're going to be doing things, but the more times you read it, the less sense it actually makes.
I did pick up one or two common points between the EFF and the DS manifestos.
Tell me.
The EFF has an extensive part of their manifesto dedicated towards digitization and the fourth industrial revolution.
Yes.
So improving digital skills, insourcing digital workers into government, hiring developers to improve or build AI, smart AI traffic systems. So there is a lot of opportunity for youth. The EFF's manifesto was very youth centered.
Okay.
And it sounded very much opportunity centric.
Okay.
I mean, it was a fairly long manifesto as well, eh?
Yeah.
Well over 100 pages.
Okay. Yeah, it was actually, I think, the longest of all the manifestos that we had a look at.
I think so, with many sections. I think, I mean, for anyone that's still confused about who you're going to vote for, it's definitely worth at least reading the summaries of some of these manifestos.
Yeah.
To sort of get an idea, entrepreneurs specifically, just get an idea and understanding of what some of the intended programs and frameworks that the parties plan to introduce are.
Yeah.
I think not a lot of them go into any particular detail.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're afraid of plagiarism. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
there's been a bit of that going around recently.
I think, though, it's also a case of, like, they don't know what that detail needs to be, which for me is a bit scary, like, if I'm being honest, because we've been talking for years and years about how important entrepreneurship is towards driving the economy. And yet here we are in 2019, and I think the most any of these individual parties allocated to entrepreneurship in their manifestos is probably about 4 or 5 pages out of documents that are going into anything between 70 to 120 pages. And for me, that's quite scary. But with that said, we wanted to actually have a look at some of the smaller parties, but we unfortunately ran out of time. So if you guys have any thoughts, opinions, feedback about some of the smaller parties, maybe share it on social media. You can hashtag BLQ elections. You can hashtag SparkUp. If there's comments that are available down below, which maybe, I think, guys,
are there comments down there?
Right, can you see them? I think they're probably going to be there. Leave your thoughts and opinions in the comments. We'll also check them out there, try and engage with you guys. But this has been very informative. Thank you, Mr. Sabola.
I have been Motsalana Sabola.
I have been Kate Kanivaloye. We have been the Spark Up by BLQ.
Let's back up.
Let's back up. We're doing that thing now.